Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios.
Good morning to all of you. It's another sunny day in Atlanta. It's another beautiful day if you look outside. And welcome to Kids Business Radio in July. And we're almost ready to go back into the school year. So we want to use this episode here to talk about opportunities that students have in the upcoming school year. And I have a couple of guests here who are, here to help us to make this show work. First of all, I have Megan Lynch, who is actually right now in Ohio, but working with us on the show. And then I have Pete Kane here. Pete, good morning to you.
Good morning, Derek. Thanks for having me.
I have Kaylin here, who is our co-host and is covering the social media activity and will also work and be involved with our radio topics here this morning. And then, of course, Rich, thank you so much for having us here on your Buckhead Radio X.
Absolutely. And Kaylin, you want to say hi to us, to our listeners, and what are you going to be doing this morning?
Today, I will be talking about shows that promote entrepreneurship. So,
and a lot of the social media. You're the social media mind behind this whole operation, right?
I am.
So, welcome, Megan. We'll start with you. It's good
to have you.
Good to have you here. So, tell me a little bit about what you do and what the program is all about. And I know that you and I had an opportunity to meet during the Kids Business Expo event this February, right?
Right. Yes. Thank you so much, Dirk, for having me.
And so we had you there, and we had a brief conversation because we were all running around like chickens without a head on the during that show and event. And it was very important for us, of course, to network and have a platform for people. So what did you think about the Kids Business Expo and the ideas of the event itself?
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I had heard about the event, and I'm in Indianapolis, but it was an amazing event just to be able to see young people in a whole new light. I'm an English teacher. I've been teaching for 13 years, and oftentimes I just get to see the aspect of them, like just being students and doing schoolwork, but just to see the young people that you had at that program, at your event, who were really innovators and really like taking their visions and putting action to their vision. So thank you so much for allowing me to just be a part of that. That was amazing.
Well, one of the things that we always want to start off, and I apologize that I didn't do that right now. Let me read your bio real quick so that we can intro that on the air. Megan Lynch, high school teacher turned entrepreneur and co-founder, Reagan Lynch Simmons, are part of Apprentice Minds, an organization that helps young entrepreneurs discover, develop, and demonstrate their passions to the world. Apprentice Minds and the AMEC, Apprentice Minds Entrepreneurial Co-op, made up by 30 entrepreneurs from 5 states, will launch a Kickstarter campaign that will help support the next generation of entrepreneurs. I mean, that's an awesome intro. So, you know, let's jump right in. Tell us about that.
Great. Well, it really started, Apprentice Mind started in my classroom. I was teaching seniors for the first time last August, and I had to teach them a business unit, and everything was supposed to be pretend. Do a pretend business letter, a pretend cover letter, pretend to start everything. And I was thinking, like, what better way to learn how to become entrepreneurs than to really jump right in and start our own business? So my twin sister, who actually is in Ohio, she knew a little bit about crowdfunding and the Kickstarter campaign. So we, since August, put together a Kickstarter campaign, and we actually took some of our students, some of my students, and then about 15 entrepreneurs from 5 different states in Chicago. We're in Ohio. We're in Hawaii. We're out in Las Vegas. We have a person who is a part of Apprentice Minds. And we just decided that we were really going to band together so that we could get enough capital to start our own business. So we have a Kickstarter campaign that's going on right now. We have about 38 more days left of our campaign. And, you know, it's just really exciting. And when this campaign is over, we're going to be able to take some of that money and actually get a space for entrepreneurs to be able to come in and create. And also some of that money will be used to support the entrepreneur's startup for their business. So it's amazing right now.
Well, that sounds like there's a lot of entrepreneurship history and background besides your teaching. Is that correct?
Definitely. Yeah, my twin sister and I started a business about 8 years ago, and we have a t-shirt company. Huh. And we've just always had that entrepreneurial spirit, and it's kind of great to be able to see young people have that same kind of spirit. They just need a platform like Kids Business Expo, who really will help bring that out and let them know that it's okay to dream big, but you also can put action to that dream as well. So
is entrepreneurship something that you always have dreamed of? Because, you know, a lot of kids out there, specifically when they are in the middle school and maybe even younger than that, are thinking about entrepreneurship. And they have this idea, but not a lot of people really have that opportunity. Is that something that was given to you through your family members, or how did that start? I mean, not everybody says, I want to become an entrepreneur.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've all in my family, we're a family of athletes. We've all gone off to college and played, you know, Division I sports, but everyone in our family has that drive to just to do more. But I remember when my twin sister and I were younger and, you know, people do the lemonade stands. We used to make bracelets. We used to, you know, things just simple as like drawing really creative pictures and trying to figure out ways that we could make a, you know, 50 cents to get our popsicles or whatever. So it was just, it started really young, and, you know, it's just kind of carried on from there. So it's been exciting to work with my sister. My whole entire family is actually involved in Apprentice Minds. They're all blowing up water balloons right now for our big Apprentice Minds Extreme Water Gun and Water Balloon Wars. And we're going to use some of that money, all of that money, 100% of the proceeds, to go into our Kickstarter campaign to help the other 30 entrepreneurs who are involved.
Awesome. So shout out to them right now, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So tell me about Makerspace. I heard of that, but I cannot sort of like put something into understanding what Makerspace is all about.
Well, I learned a lot about Makerspaces just this past year. And a Makerspace could be any space. It could be a classroom that you know, after you teach the class, then you have people come in. And it's really just about giving people a space to create. So a Makerspace could be in your cafeteria. It could be anywhere. But what I really would like to do is to have a space almost like a gym. Almost like just a gym membership, and you're able to come in, and we may have a kitchen in there, or a music studio, or even a gym, because a lot of my friends are personal trainers or skill developers, and they just need a space to be able to run their own businesses. So that's what I would really like to do. Apprentice Minds will use the Kickstarter money to start developing this space, and entrepreneurs could come in. Also, young people will be able to come in and get professionalism and entrepreneurial training, and then we'll be able to outsource them out to different organizations that can help bring their dreams to life.
So it's almost sort of like, not almost, but it's really the idea of an incubator, correct?
Exactly.
And these are
instead of being in your basement, you know, you could go and be around, you know, 30 to 100 or whatever other people who have that entrepreneurial spirit. And really, that's what drives people, being around like-minded.
It's funny that you say that, because Pete and I had a conversation of all places out in the parking lot. And we had our windows rolled down, and we were talking about this. And so, you know, I think incubators are very powerful. It doesn't matter if we put the name incubator on it. It's a location. And there are so many locations that are available. But what kids or young entrepreneurs often need is, number one, someone who will guide them. Number two, someone who can support them. Who gives them a little bit of a networking experience, which I believe is very important that we teach, you know, middle school and high school students very early on what networking really is about. And to have a location that you're talking about is awesome. I like the idea of a makerspace. I think that's a very, very define in very clear word of what this can all be. And I think they can come in and really brainstorm and get into something that is a Kickstarter. So how is your Kickstarter program working? How is that going to help these young minds, these brilliant people?
Well, right now the Kickstarter campaign, we realize that three things entrepreneurs often lack is, like you said, Dirk, they lack the support, they lack the startup capital, mm-hmm. and then they lack the space to create. So if we could get more people to even just donate a dollar, pledge a dollar, no money comes out of anyone's account until September 1st. You just go right to apprenticeminds.com and click our Kickstarter page, and that money will go directly to our young entrepreneurs. Many of them already have started businesses. They just need a space to create. In this space, we will be able to provide them marketing help and just that guidance that they mm-hmm. need to be able to take their business from startup to really, you know, to really being successful.
So looking at Pete right now here, he sits right across me. He has this big smile on his face because, as I said, you know, we had just talked about it. And funding is, of course, one of the biggest challenges that young entrepreneurs have. You mentioned that there is this Kickstarter and the raising the funds, but how will Apprentice Mind benefit the community, and how will it grow into a very profitable business?
Well, great. Thanks for asking that, because we actually have two ways that Apprentice Minds is going to benefit the community and just continue to grow. So there's two sides to it. Once we get this maker space, anybody will be able to come into this space, and they could come in, they could basically, it's like a gym membership, and they would be able to use our facilities. We have people who are chefs and make great dishes or cookies or whatever, but they just need a space to be able to make those items. So anybody could come into the maker space. They will be able to, like I said, get a membership and have full access to the facility. And then on the other side, we want that teaching to happen. And just with my background, I want to continue to educate. So we want to bring in young people ages about 14 to 24, and they will be able to come in and get some professionalism, entrepreneurship training, and then, like I said, we will be able to outsource them out to different jobs. I really want young people to make decisions, their next decision, based on inspiration and not desperation. Mm. So, and I don't want them to go to school and spend 4 years, 5 years, just to realize that, hey, I really want it to take a different direction. So we want to try to expose them to as many different opportunities as possible before they have to make that big decision.
It seems to me that your background combination of teaching and actual classroom experience and understanding the needs of these young minds in the classroom, that because not everybody, and I've said that many times on the radio before, you know, not everybody is college bound. There's a lot of kids out there who have a dream, but who are not necessarily ready to go in. And so your experience bringing this teaching into entrepreneurship seems to be a very, very great background that can really help these kids to go. So you personally want to take this, and is there an idea to take it into other cities, or is it just Indianapolis and India only?
Well, no, definitely. A makerspace, like I said, could be anywhere. And I am, I'm actually at one of the largest high schools in Indiana, one of the top high schools in Indiana. But we are looking, actually, this August, taking Apprentice Minds into another high school. Hmm. And so, like I said, before we get our building, we could still, Apprentice Minds can still work, because it could work in a gym, it could work in a library. So we're hoping that we get enough funds so we can go ahead and get the building, but we want to take the idea, the curriculum of Apprentice Minds, really, and be able to take it into all high schools. And just like kind of the DECA program, when I was in high school and people were able to start their businesses and get exposed to it, we want to be able to take Apprentice Minds in all high schools and all cities. And like I said, we're in five different areas right now. So, you know, being in Chicago and in Ohio, in Hawaii, in Las Vegas, and North Carolina, it's, you know, it's just an amazing thing that can really go anywhere.
Now, when I hear Hawaii, I'm thinking, you know, surfboards and cuisine and fool and all sorts of things like this. What is your take on products? What type of products do you think these individuals will bring into a makerspace?
You know, and the sky's the limit, really. Being in a high school, and I've taught all grades, and I've worked with all different types of students. I ran a program called SOS, Saving Ourselves, which was a program for not troubled youth, but just youth that needed more guidance. And the great thing is that it doesn't matter who the kid is. Mm-hmm. We have to remember that young people are some of our most creative individuals.
Yes.
And the things that they come up with that are successful, you know, they find ways to, you know, like make money and to support themselves and to be visionary. So
yes,
we really have to just give them that space where they can brainstorm. Like the Kids Business Expo, it was amazing to see the ideas that the young people had come up with that as adults, maybe, you know, we don't have that imagination right now, but they have it. So just kind of let them run wild in the space and come up with these great ideas.
Well, I think that a lot of these TV shows, and I'm sure Kaylin can attest to that, one of these TV shows, of course, was sort of like the idea behind Kids Business Expo when she came into with this idea of Kids Business Expo. But I believe that kids are not afraid to make mistakes, and they know if they are tutored and mentored correctly, that they have an opportunity to really take their product to the next level. And I think that shows like Shark Tank, The Profit, Undercover Boss are helping our youth, not only youth, but a lot of our youth, to really lose the fear over touching a product and creating a product and having a budget. We as business owners and business leaders need to support them in getting into this and making sure that they are aware of the opportunities that are ahead of them. And I know lots of kids, young adults, who have one or two businesses before they even graduate from high school.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's just, you hit it right on the head when you said awareness. And I always say to my students, you know, how do you know that if you like caviar if you've never had it? You know, so I just really believe in us exposing them and just that awareness. And if you expose them to it, no, not every student is going to want to be an entrepreneur, but you would be really surprised how many of them really want to learn how to be producers and not just consumers in the world.
Now, sitting here in ATL, looking out at the beautiful skyline and all the beautiful buildings that are coming up, my immediate question is, why not Atlanta? Or is Atlanta on your scope? Or, you know, can we do to bring you to town? Or, you know, how can we become involved with this?
Well, definitely Atlanta. Definitely. I was just there last weekend, and we met Eric Thomas. My students used to watch every Monday. It's called TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. And with Eric Thomas, he's a motivational speaker. And I told the students, I said, well, we're going to meet him, and we're going to have him be a part of Apprentice Minds. And some of them didn't believe me. And actually, less than a month ago, I got a chance to meet him. And he is a backer, one of our first backers for our Kickstarter campaign.
Awesome.
And he was actually out in Atlanta last week talking with entrepreneurs and trying to get them to really understand that they can become great, you know, business owners, mm-hmm, and producers. So definitely Atlanta, definitely Hawaii, or anywhere in the world, really, there should be a maker space for entrepreneurs. To just be able, sometimes you can't create in your home. There's too much stuff going on, and you just need that space to be able to go in and be able to relax and have that space to be able to really let your juices flow, I guess. So, yeah, definitely Atlanta.
Well, one of the things that I felt very positive about Kids Business Expo was that the ages all got together. You know, you saw 10 years, 11-year-olds talking to 16, 17, 18-year-olds, and they were networking. There was absolutely no fear. And I think that when you look at a location or an idea like Makerspace, where you have different ages, adults, you know, college graduates, startups, whoever wants to get in, they see the passion in these kids. They see that these kids are not there just to, you know, have cookie and a soda, but they're really there to make a difference for themselves, for their families, for the community. And I like these community, you know, buy local, and everybody knows that I'm out there supporting this in many different ways, because I feel we need to pay attention to our young future entrepreneurs and business leaders. And you never know if you're not sitting next to or across the table from someone who has this brilliant idea and all of a sudden jumps in. So I think that's a great idea. And tell us about how people can get involved in Apprentice Mind and what they can do to support you, but support their kids.
Great. And like you said, bringing adults and young people together, that's basically what Apprentice Minds is. Mm-hmm. It is bringing young and also seasoned entrepreneurs. So we would love for people to go to apprenticeminds.com, and you can just click right on the green button, and it'll take you right to our Kickstarter page. The young people and everybody that's involved in Apprentice Minds work so hard. The video, the pitch video, is an amazing whiteboard animation video, and all of these, the things that you will see on the Apprentice Minds Kickstarter page was produced by one of our entrepreneurs. Hmm. And it's an amazing video, and it basically explains how you can get involved and how you can help. But right now we have about 38 more days, and we need backers, really. And if you just go to that apprenticeminds.com, click on the Kickstarter page, read about what we've been doing, and back our project. That is really the first step right now, is what we're working on to try and make this makerspace really come to life.
Well, talking about opportunities, let me switch over to Pete Kane here real quick. Stay on the line with us, please. Don't go away, because we want to make sure that we have a lively conversation over the next about 40 or so minutes. But let me bring Pete in, because, as I said, Pete has been involved in the community, has been involved in business for a long, long time. Over the life of his career, he has been in sales. He has been in sales management of consumer goods companies like Nabisco and food distribution companies like Sysco and US Foods. And for the last 2 years, he has been working with RevLocal, based out of the Columbus, Ohio area, which is a digital marketing company. And Pete's passion is, of course, helping entrepreneurs and small business owners to be successful using new digital strategies. And that's, I think, is so critical, that people learn how to use their time effectively, but more importantly, how to reach out and grow their business. So welcome, Pete, on the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Dirk, and thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
So tell me about RevLocal and how you got involved, because, you know, it's, again, another entrepreneur sitting here in the studio helping other entrepreneurs, and that's what I really enjoy when we have our conversations. So tell me about RevLocal and how you got involved and what this is all about.
Thanks. Yeah, several years ago, I was calling around because I had been in business before, and I have certain talents that I do well, and there's certain ones I don't do well. And I know back end operations, details, and all that were not something I did well. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking for a company that could complement that. I had that passion of helping entrepreneurs, and I saw the digital revolution coming on, mainly for my kids.
Right.
I mean, I remember back, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, when my daughter said, you're into marketing, Dad. You ought to get into like Facebook. And I said, oh, come on. That's for kids. And that's actually college kids. That's not something I would lower myself to do. And then I got on there and I immediately started connecting with family back home, because we didn't have any family down here in Atlanta. So I was able to see what nieces and nephews were doing. I said, this is cool. This is kind of bringing me into their world, which I never had been in that platform. So that started the journey kind of into the social and digital. And then I just saw how kids are growing up with this technology. And as I was, you know, I'm approaching 60. So as I was working with business leaders over 50, they were confused. They were overwhelmed with technology. And I thought, this would be good to be able to help them with that transition. So I see a great opportunity of the young kids coming alongside older kids,
right,
or older, you know, leaders, business leaders, to help them, because the business leaders need the technology and the younger kids need the mentoring,
yes,
and the experience,
exactly,
and the wisdom.
And that's what you have. We have met on so many different times, but one of the things that you have been very involved in is helping kids to get entrepreneurs. And I remember that one career fair we did over at McEachern High School here in Cobb County. And it was amazing to see the entrepreneurship. And there were 40 plus businesses there. And, yes, you know, you have been so involved in helping kids and young entrepreneurs. So Ref Local and other things, I know that there's one other program that you're involved in. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was exciting to see the participation, the hunger for information and being around business leaders and businesses in the community. Mm-hmm. So it was exciting talking. And I guess you're referring to the Evernote?
Correct, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
And I think that I stumbled on it about 10 months ago. And for me, I struggled with, I think the average person spends 6 weeks a year looking for stuff. Well, I think mine was closer to 10 to 9 weeks, because being dyslexic and ADD, that's not my strong suit as organization.
Right.
So all of a sudden I found this platform, because LinkedIn discontinued a card munch, which was a card scanning, and I stumbled on it. I had it on my phone for about 9 months, didn't know what it was. So all of a sudden I started scanning business cards, putting information in there, and I could find it. I didn't actually have to look for it. So I really started to see that the opportunity to help overwhelm business owners with that technology, because it's all coming at us from all different angles. We got, mm-hmm, Apple, Google, Microsoft. They all want us to be in their platform.
Right.
Evernote kind of neutralizes that and allows us to have something to be able to organize.
Now, you talk about business cards. Business cards, of course, lead us to networking. Networking leads us to build a business portfolio, and a business portfolio brings us down to the point that we need to expand our businesses. So how can you with Ref Local help businesses to expand? Because it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. If you are an entrepreneur, you need to find somebody to buy your product or your service and get involved in your business portfolio. So how does someone do that through Ref Local, for example?
Well, what Ref Local, being a digital marketing agency, everything changed overnight. It seemed like it wasn't too long ago that we were looking through the yellow pages to, mm-hmm, find our information. Then all of a sudden Google came into the picture and kind of took that out. Now there's thousands of ways, and there's all kinds of companies out there. So what Ref Local does is they help companies be found if you don't know them by their name,
right,
by their products and service. So a good example is a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was late 2012, we had a person come in from Google and talking to us. It's when the smartphone went mainstream,
mm-hmm,
which meant people can go right to their phone and type in or speak something they want, and we have to be able to organize that, or Google is doing that,
right,
is organizing that. So putting those products and services in front of the consumer when they need it, we call it the zero moment of truth. Mm-hmm. When my pipe breaks in my house and I say, plumber in the area, I got to see what are my options. And so what Ref Local does is helps organize that information to help the opportunities out there for business owners.
The other thing I believe is very important, and you and I have talked about it, and I know that we, you know, as business owners, need to be aware of how people are evaluating us. We were just down in Florida, and we were looking for some restaurants. And, you know, you go on Google, you go on Travelocity, you go on all these things. But how important is it for people not only to be found, but also on top of that, how can they make sure that they respond to reviews and things like that? I know you and I had a conversation about that in the past as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, good question. I think we've all done business with Amazon, and we see how they've taken reviews. We as consumers, we don't like to make mistakes and be embarrassed about what we buy and where we go. So we look for others for validation. So what we'll do is we'll look for what other people are saying about that restaurant, that product. And so it's important for business owners to recognize that I've got to get this validation online. Mm-hmm. I had a massage person and we were talking about it, and she says, I have a shoebox full of notes that people have written me, mm-hmm. thanking me for what, you know, her service provides. And that's good, but she and the person that wrote that are the only people that know about it. It has to go online. So when I'm searching for somebody, I want to see what others are saying about that business. And so it's critical for business owners to have a strategy to help gather reviews and get validation.
One of the things that I see in this overall online activity business going on is that we as the consumer, we post something about your business, and then the business owner, unfortunately, doesn't spend the 30 seconds to a minute to actually respond, good or bad.
True.
And I think that that's critical as well, is that we are teaching entrepreneurs to be aware of people, you know, thinking of talking about their business. So do you think it's very important that people are looking at this all the time? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, they're talking about you online, whether you know it or not. Mm-hmm. But you got to be in that conversation.
Right.
So it's critical that businesses say, I've got to be in the digital space, and I've got to be aware of what people are saying about me. So, you know, just like on this show is, you know, they're hashtagging, they're mentioning, they're doing all the things on Twitter. And if you go to Radio Business X on Twitter, you'll see some of the things that people are saying. So it is critical that the business owners are tuned in to what's going on online.
Megan, let me throw that question out to you as well. How are you involving networking into your concept of connections out there?
Well, networking is so important, and really just teaching the young people who are involved how to just make what you're doing visible. And one of the ways to do that is you really can't have that fear to just go out and talk to people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you may hear people say no or they're not interested, but the thing that I see happening is even having the young people pass out flyers, they're so hesitant at mm-hmm. first. Because yeah. they're so afraid of, well, what if they say no? And it's great to just teach them that you only really need one person, the right person, to say yes. So just word of mouth, getting them out there, just talking about what we're doing. We've been getting on the radio and really just having the young people get used to hearing their dreams out loud. And then they're able to share those. I have a speech communication and theater background and people don't like to get up in front of other people, especially their peers, and speak. So I think just seeing that happen right now, that transformation of them not wanting to speak and then now wanting to share their ideas with everyone they come across is pretty amazing to watch.
One of the things that I believe is our responsibility as business owners and, you know, adults in the business community is really to teach our students and the future entrepreneurs how to do that correctly. And I post this all the time on my Twitter activities. If you are a business owner, and I challenge you out there right now, if you are a business owner and you know of a young entrepreneur who is really eager to get into the business, why don't you take that young entrepreneur into the business association that you belong to? Take them to your lunch. Have them there, and it doesn't matter if it's a business association or a organization like Rotary or Lions. It doesn't matter. Just take these kids with you and teach them how to do this correctly. Help them to get their 30 to 60 second sales pitch up and running, and tell them it's okay. We will work with you together so that you have that opportunity, if it comes up, to really make that 60 second count. And I think that it's very important, you know. And to the young entrepreneurs out there, I was walking our dog just the other day in the subdivision, and I ran into this young entrepreneur who was cutting grass with his buddy. And I asked him, I said, you know, can I get your business card? And then he looked at me like, what? You know, I said, don't you have a business card? Don't you have a flyer of what you just said, Megan? You know, do you have something that I can take in order to pass it out? You know, maybe I want to hire you a month or two to cut the grass and do all the things that I don't want to do. And he was really not prepared for this. So we as business owners, as community leaders, we really need to do this. We really need to teach that, and not just every now and then. Do it on a regular basis, you know, take the kids out to a cup of coffee and talk about them about it. You know, Pete is doing this with future business leaders on other occasions as well, right?
Yeah, it's I think coming alongside of the business leaders is so critical, but building relationships and really learning how to promote your business. And one of the essential things is having business cards and just meeting people and taking those relationships and seeing how you can nurture them, because that's what business is all about. It's relationships.
Yeah. And one of the things that I always like doing is I like to put those business cards on my refrigerator, you know, so go to a store, buy a box of 100 for like what, $30, and put your business cards on there and put them on the mail. Oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to say that. Put them out there, distribute them, and I'll put them in a location just like what Megan was talking about, you know, the makerspace. When you have a makerspace out there, I'm sure Megan will have one of those boards where you can place your business cards all over the place, you know. That's one of the things when I go to some of the BNI networking sessions, they have this board where you put your business cards up and you can collect those business cards. But what I have learned from you, Pete, is I no longer have them laying around because I scan them and put them in Evernote.
So. Yeah, I got rid of 600 at the first 10 days I got into Evernote.
Yeah, Kalen was helping me with that.
It's so nice to be able to get. I'll tell you a quick story. A friend of mine I played tennis with, she was looking for her son a connection. And so it was a year and a half ago, I had met this person in a little area outside of Atlanta, Hiram. So all I did was go into Evernote. I searched. We had a conversation. I recorded it. I found the guy in about 10 seconds and connected that person up. And that's the beauty of having an organized system. But yeah, relationships and being a good promoter of your business is essential.
Now, one thing that I have started using on Evernote is actually a digital brochure, a digital profile. And that is awesome because I was just in Destin. I ran into somebody. Of course, I do marketing when I walk around. So we went out to one of the pretty busy evening locations to have dinner. And I had a T-shirt on that had the logo of my next upcoming event, the Guacamole Fiesta. And so I was walking around and people asked me and I said, you know, what's this all about? And this guy came up and said, I have a food store. And I have a branch up in Georgia, and I would really like to get involved in this. How can I do this? Do you have any information? And guess what I had on my cell phone?
Digital brochure.
That's exactly right. So maybe you and Megan should connect on that and sort of get together on that. Because that, if Megan, if you give everybody who is in your network one of those digital brochures, you're rocking and rolling.
Yeah, if I can just jump in and just share with Megan, what I'll do is share the digital brochure notebook. And, you know, the younger kids are really good and savvy with the internet. They can put it together. So you can put one together at no cost. And now they have a way to really share their story, their vision, information about their business. It could be links, photos. And it's just right there on their phone. So you don't even have to, you know, say, I forgot my business cards. Nope. If you've got your phone with you, and most of us do, then we can share that. It's kind of share that brochure in a digital form, which is kind of what a lot of people like today.
Well, one of go ahead, Megan. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that's a great idea. That's one thing that everyone always, you know, they always have their phone. So maybe not their homework all the time, but they have their phone.
Well, one of the things that I believe is important besides, you know, networking and teaching our young entrepreneurs is to let them see how other businesses are doing. And our TV stations today are offering us a great opportunity to see some TV shows. And actually, Kaylin was the one who started the Kids Business Expo venture when one day we watched a TV show. And so Kaylin, when, you know, I think all of these shows out there are helping kids tremendously to get a better understanding about entrepreneurship. What are the TV shows that you think are very important for young entrepreneurs and kids of all ages to really take a look at?
I believe shows like The Profit or Shark Tank are really good business-wise. They can help you be inspired by what the businesses are doing and maybe get a few ideas or tips if you're ever to present your business to possibly an investor. It's important to have inspiration like that. I think just to keep the ideas going and keep people, I guess, just inspired. For the beginning of Kids Business Expo, my dad and I, we always watch MasterChef. And recently, they just had a series called MasterChef Junior, I believe.
Correct. Yes. Uh-huh.
And that is where they, unlike the normal MasterChef, they give kids an opportunity, kid home cooks, the opportunity to compete to have the MasterChef Junior title. So I was just wondering, if shows, cooking shows are giving kids a chance, why not business shows like that? And that's basically where Kids Business Expo came from.
So you had the opportunity actually to meet someone very popular right now on CNBC. Tell us about that.
Okay, so I had the opportunity to meet Marcus Lemonis, and that was amazing. It was, he's so real, if that makes any sense. He's willing to talk to you. He'll help you. He's very nice and easy to get along with. He gives amazing advice. Actually, at Kids Business Expo, I believe he actually called up entrepreneurs, kid entrepreneurs from the audience, had them give their
pitch.
Their sales pitch, and he would right there help them and mentor them to make it better.
And I think
that's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And you know, when you look at the importance of understanding business today, do you think that Undercover Boss and other shows like this are showing kids really what the business can all be about, what the success story can be?
I believe yes. In Undercover Boss, the bosses of normally large companies go undercover and go into the different levels of their company, if you could say that.
Mm-hmm.
They meet the actual employees and see firsthand the problems that could be happening in their company. And I think that's always important to pay attention to all your employees, not just the top ones. Though those are important too, but you want to pay attention to the ones who are, maybe let's say you have a retail business. You might want to come go around every now and then and visit each of the stores instead of just, because I guess you can never fully experience something until you've experienced it firsthand.
Right. And so when you look at all the opportunities that you have had watching, you know, the different shows, give the listener one of your top choices. What was the one that you think has sort of stuck with you? I know I put you on the spot right here.
Out of all shows?
Yeah, just in general. You know, what is it that you think is important when kids are looking at it? What of the shows was there that you thought was really important for you personally to learn from?
I know this isn't necessarily business, but I think MasterChef Junior was really good because you could see the determination in the kids and their ambition and perseverance almost. And that's really inspiring, I guess you could say.
What about you, Pete?
I really like The Profit. I mean, I just think he nails it when it comes to people, processes, and product, and how important it is to get the right people in the right places.
Yeah.
and really get the systems and processes down. I love that show.
I think what he does is, you know, like Kalen said, it's real. You walk in, you see him, you see that he's coming in and he really wants to make a difference in the community. He is really involved in the businesses that he has an interest in. And I think that's another thing that I've learned when I watched Shark Tank. Kalen talked about young entrepreneurs. We had actually several of the young entrepreneurs at Kids Business Expo that had an opportunity to go into the Shark Tank. And things like this, connecting opportunities like this to an organization and a business that Megan is involved in. Megan, what about you? What is something that has really stuck out on you over the last couple of seasons of these TV shows?
Well, I'm just going to have to piggyback and say the profit. That's one of the main reasons why I flew out to Atlanta and I wanted to check out the Kids Business Expo, because I've pretty much, I'm a studier, and I think that he does. Marcus Lemonis just nails it. And what I loved about Marcus Lemonis is he's so transparent. And when he was at the Kids Business Expo, I was so amazed that he really didn't pull any punches. He didn't treat the kids like kids. He treated them like entrepreneurs, and he didn't sugarcoat the advice that he was given to them. And if the young people weren't really ready to give their pitch, he gave them an opportunity, gave them a few tips, and said, like, go out in the hallway, kind of practice, get yourself together. But that was just amazing. And he's absolutely right. You really do have to have the right people and refine the process. And that's what I'm doing right now, is just really trying to use his idea, the people, process, and the product, and just to help my own business and to help the entrepreneurs. So definitely Marcus Lemonis, that was like amazing to be there, be in the room with him.
Social media. I want to bring that up real quick, because I think that all of us are using it, but I want your comments, advice to our listeners. What do y'all think is very important when it gets to social media? Because the reason that we were able to bring in Marcus Lemonis into Kids Business Expo was actually via Twitter. You know, Kalen and I were sitting at home one Sunday, and all of a sudden we had an opportunity to connect with Marcus Lemonis on Twitter. And yeah, all of a sudden he is asking me this question, how can I help you? And he was at Kids Business Expo. But social media is such an important platform from my point. I do a lot of business on social media. I find a lot of clients on social media. But I want to throw this out here to you, both of you, and find out what your experience is and how you promote your business.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Yeah, I just think that there's so many avenues, but there's some good ones to really focus on. Twitter gives you the ability to connect with people you never would have an opportunity to do that. Obviously, with the success that y'all had, Dirk, of getting Marcus, is you now have the, you know, what is it? I forget the number of six. Six degrees of separation. Thanks, Rich. I know that. And now I think it might be two. So, yeah, you can follow leaders. You can comment. They can, you know, make some tips and things. So it really, I like Twitter. Yep. And then, of course, Facebook is a great platform to get your, kind of listen to what's going on out there.
Megan, what's your take on that?
Well, I think social media is a way to get to the masses. Facebook, you know, we've been on Facebook, and the kids are on Twitter and Instagram. We have some younger entrepreneurs who are really good with Instagram, and they're able to keep track of you know, getting their ideas out that way. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like some people really want to have that face-to-face conversation. Yeah, so
absolutely.
We've been having the young people really go and just talk to people, talk to small businesses, so that they can really let people know why they're doing it. I think that's most important, is people really don't care what you're doing sometimes or how you're doing it until they really understand why you're doing it. And that's what I've been trying to help the young people really develop their why. Like, if it's just about making money, then you may not be that successful, you know. So you really have to understand why are you doing what you're doing on a daily basis.
One thing that I believe is critical when you do the social media world and promote your business is that you really need to monitor. You need to make sure that the followers or the people who are involved with you on these social media platforms are legitimate. I pay a lot of attention to it because, you know, from a perspective of the business and the events that are organized, I need to make sure that we have very clean followers. We have people who are legitimate. And, brands need to make sure that their brands are represented. And when somebody's talking about somebody's brand, I just had, while we were in Florida, about a series of about 12 to 15 emails coming, tweets coming in, and these tweets were all sort of not representing the company that they were talking about in a very positive way. And I think that businesses really need to make sure that they have the right following. So, you know, if you are sending me a tweet saying, you know, I really would like to follow you, or you're following me and you have these, we can increase your tweet, your followers by 60,000 for $5. You need to get rid of these people. That's really not the best way to do business out there. So continue to make sure that you have that. But one thing that I want to put out there also is LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is extremely important when it gets to the professional side of it. And if you are a college graduate, if you are looking for a job opportunity or a career opportunity, you definitely need to be out on LinkedIn, I think. That it's a platform that you have to be on. Don't you think, Pete?
Oh, absolutely. I got into LinkedIn many years ago because my brother was a pharmaceutical recruiter, and he told me the importance of it. But I'm glad I did. But I'm surprised how many business owners that I run into are just not on LinkedIn. And the other thing, just to make the viewers or the listeners aware of, Pulse, which is kind of new. It's less than a year old, but it gives people the ability to publish content. And so if you're a business owner, young or old, you know, you want to look at that because you want to be able to share that information with others, and LinkedIn is allowing that to happen now.
Mm-hmm. Megan, when you're talking to business, future business owners in your location, what are the questions that are coming up in regards to social media? Megan? I think, Pete, let me put that out to you then.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is that they're overwhelmed.
Right.
They're trying to look at, what do I start learning? And I think if you're a business owner, you have to start looking at the main platforms.
Right, right.
And just dive in. I mean, because it's not, don't be intimidated by it, but just start using it and experiencing it. And by doing that, it helps you to get more comfortable with it.
So the choice often out there is, there's an overwhelming amount of social media opportunities and marketing opportunities. How much time do you spend a day or a week on promoting? What is it that you use as a time frame? Because you can really get into it and spend hours a day on it, or you can just do 5 or 6 or 10 minutes a day. What do you think?
I'll spend about 10 or 15 minutes,
yeah.
And I use a tool called Buffer. So mm-hmm. I schedule out, posts so I can do it all in one time. So I try to be aware of, it is a time, it's a vacuum that if you're not careful can consume a lot of times, because you have to balance high tech with high touch. I like what Megan said is, really, you still got to be out there shaking hands, talking to people, building relationships, but use tools too that'll help broaden your ability to reach more people and connect with people easier.
When people sit down with you, Pete, to talk about networking and business opportunities and things like this, what is it that you give them sort of as a parameter of measuring the success or the impact of a business? Do you have any advice on that?
Well, I think is really putting the plan together. And a gentleman of mine talked about a pie, and he said too many entrepreneurs spend too much time on their product and they don't look at the marketing and the image of it.
Right.
So I tell them, balance it out. When you look at big brands like McDonald's and Nike, they spend a lot of time on building that brand. So I just try to tell them to be aware of that balance that you have in business, and you need all three.
I believe everything is, or the main base for a bunch of things is balance. Because you can't, if you focus too much on one thing, you might have a great version of one thing, and that's awesome. But if you only have, let's say, like Pete said, a great product, then what if your service is awful? No one will want to buy your product. Or so also true. On social media, you can't, like that high touch, high tech, you can't spend too much, or just, like you said, it was a vacuum and it can suck you in, and it's great. It's a wonderful platform, but you have to always balance everything out. Otherwise, you'll be unbalanced and you won't have the benefits that it could give sometimes.
Good point.
The other thing that, Pete, I believe is important is that we continue to be involved with our high schools and middle schools, correct? And so what's your next step on that?
Well, I think just get involved. We have the pleasure of working with a gentleman at McEachern High School out there who really has a passion for helping kids. There are people in the high schools that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So see what you can do in your local high school to really connect with people that can help bridge between the students and the business community, because that's really where you're going to see growth and good things happen, when we can have that bridge and connect people.
So what's the next step for you, Pete?
Well, I think, you know what, I'll share with the listeners a free resource called evernotecampus.info. I think Evernote affords us the ability to organize our personal and business lives, and so, you know, we put all the videos and a lot of good resources in one place. So, you know, I want to continue to make tools simple and easy for people, because we are definitely overwhelmed. Information's doubling every whatever few years. Don't think you can keep up with the information, but come up with ways to organize it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get to it when you need it.
That's a great idea.
Okay, there's Megan. So Megan, we're about 3 minutes out, so let's wrap this up by giving all of you the opportunity to sort of like give us a quick rundown how people can connect you. And ladies first, Megan, tell us how people can get involved, and what's the phone numbers, the Twitter accounts, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera.
Great. Well, you can go right to Apprentice Minds on Facebook, and at Apprentice Minds is our Twitter account, and we also have Instagram also, which is Apprentice Minds. But on our website, if you just go to apprenticeminds.com, and you will be able to connect with some information on there. And our Kickstarter page is right on the website, apprenticeminds.com. But also, you could download the Apprentice Minds app. We actually have an app on iPhone and on Android. So we post videos. Sometimes we're broadcasting live, so if you download the Apprentice Minds app, you can actually back the campaign right from the app, and you can get to all of our social media right from that Apprentice Minds app. So that's probably one of the easiest ways is just to download that app and stay connected.
I just got one tweet right now, just about 30 seconds ago, and the question was...
Megan, how much money are you all looking to raise? What's your goal on Kickstarter?
Well, we set our goal at $10,000. Now, that's just going to barely touch, you know, the tip of the iceberg. But normally on Kickstarter, they usually set a goal. It is an all or nothing.
I know, yeah.
So we did set it at $10,000, and we're going to be running some events every week to try and get some more money. It's been a little bit of a challenge, like on Facebook, to get to the mass media. So we're really looking for people who have that entrepreneurial spirit, because then they're going to know how much work really went into what it is that we're trying to do. So if we could just get those backers, we have pledges as low as a dollar, and we have great rewards, and all of our rewards are actually produced by our entrepreneurs, and it's some great things going on. So
awesome. And then, Pete, how can they reach you if someone wants to talk about RevLocal and Evernote?
Yeah, Twitter, at Pete Kane, that's P-E-T-E-K-A-N-E, would be my Twitter name. Twiddle. The Twiddle. It's a new social media platform.
What's the phone number?
And 404-987-0310. You can contact me by phone. And connect with me on LinkedIn, too. And
awesome.
That's Pete Kane.
And then if you are interested in becoming a guest, go on kidsbusinessradio.com, click on the top right, become a guest, sign up, and join us at one of the future shows. So thank you, everybody, for listening in. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Megan. Thanks, Kaylin. Thanks, Rich, of course, for giving us the studio platform. This was the July edition of Kids Business Radio. Thank you and have a great day.